Welcome everybody to a new episode of the Row Such a Glider podcast. Today I have one of my good friends. Well, I don't know, Ron, are we good friends? We talk a lot online, so I guess that makes us good friends in 2025. I have Ron from the Film Strip podcast, and he also is in the Christmas Podcast Network Discord. Off air, I just asked him, I said, how the hell did you even get in there? So he said it's because, you know, he guest hosts on other Christmas podcasts like Tis the Podcast and Jerry's Podcast. I'm pretty sure you've been on Jerry's Podcast. But anyway, Ron, Mr. Hogan, welcome to my podcast. How are you, man?
Oh, CJ, I'm glad to be here, man. I'm pumped about it. This is all part of my plan to catch up to Jerry in terms of both Discord posts and also appearances on other people's podcasts.
Are you excited for November? Are you ready for Christmas?
I am not ready for Christmas yet, but I will be very soon. It's always the thing of, this is the busiest October I've had since, there was a few years where I was doing like 3 reviews a week in October, and that was a lot. 3 articles or whatever. This has been the busiest month since like the glory days of like when I was covering The Walking Dead. So I'm ready for things to slow down a little bit, which will give me time to actually start doing my Christmas prep stuff.
Yeah, that's actually really funny. I forgot you liked The Walking Dead. You've also reviewed episodes and we've discussed it. Don't you think there was a possible way to have a Christmas episode or kind of incorporate Christmas to The Walking Dead somehow? But I guess time wasn't really being monitored, but it would have been fun to have some kind of Christmas element to it.
They 100% missed the boat on doing a Walking Dead Christmas special when the show was at its peak of hotness.
I don't know how they would incorporate it though, or maybe they'd go into a mall and I don't think the apocalypse started around Christmas, but it would have been cool to go into a mall and it still have Christmas stuff set up and, or, you know, workers there in like Christmas hats that are zombies now, but I don't think it happened around that time.
There are ambivalent about when it actually starts. I think it starts in late fall, so it's, if it was like set now rather than set back in the 2010s, you could 100% get away with there being Christmas decorations, because I've been seeing Christmas decorations throughout the month of October.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like we're old people like when we discuss this stuff, because I'm even a big Christmas guy, obviously, but it comes out a lot earlier lately, like the last couple years for sure. I don't mind it, but let's just get to November. Like, let's celebrate Halloween and then let's get into November and then we can do it. But, you know, I've seen people putting up their Christmas lights, I guess, to get an early start. They've been putting them up since about 2 weeks ago, which is cool. But, you know, I don't know. I like to get through Halloween and then I like to enjoy that and then get into Christmas and really. But do you find even when you decorate for Christmas, like in November, like I do early November, it doesn't feel like Christmas until like first week of December. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in Kentucky, so it never really feels like Christmas until like January, because we usually have like 60 or 70 degree days in October and November.
Yeah,
I mean, there have been Christmas, I think like 3 years ago, it was like 75 and beautiful outside, which is, I guess, a nice present, but not conducive to the mood, you know?
I remember out here, I think it's probably when my girls are 14 now, they were probably 4 at the time, 4 or 5. I guess it was like the El Nino Christmas or whatever it was we had that winter. I swear on Christmas Day, I think it was plus 17. That would be Celsius. So for you, that'd probably be close to like the same. I'd have to do the conversion on that, but it was pretty warm. It was about 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's
Sorry, I was going to say, it sounds like you deal with like warmer Christmases every year. Like, I'm a bit ignorant when I think like you're considered a southern state, but you do get snow. Yeah.
Yeah, we do get snow, but our snowy season is in like January and February is when we usually get our heaviest amounts of snow.
The only reason I know that is because I listen to like Cornette. Obviously, you listen to Jim Cornette. For those that don't know who that is, former WWF, AWA, blah, blah, blah. He's a manager. He has a podcast now, and he's known for really complaining about the weather. But you guys live close to each other, don't you?
I am probably 5 to 10 miles away from Corny.
Oh man,
Yeah.
that's really cool. Have you ever seen him in the wild or no?
No, I have not, but a friend of mine who used to work at a Meijer store near his house would see him all the time because
Really?
he worked overnights and Cornette would come out at night
Are
until he got banned from the store for getting in a fist fight in the parking lot with the guy.
you serious? So he's
Yep.
actually who he is, eh? Because on the podcast, he seems pretty out there. I figured he'd be a big wimp, but like, I guess he's about that action. I don't know.
No, he's about that life.
No, that's awesome.
He's also bigger than you think he is.
Yeah, I
He's
think, what does he run? 6'2"? 6'1"?
like a legit 6'1".
Wow, yeah. He kind of
Which
looks it when you
which
see
is
him at Fan Fest and he's beside people. He does look like he's got some height to him.
Yeah, he would always have to like stand in the background to like not be as tall as some of his people he's managing.
Yeah.
He was
He
really
totally.
good. He was really good about that camera awareness.
Oh, he's that guy's, he's true to his job, man. Like, he's never about overshadowing people, just kind of shining a light on them. We've lost so many people from the beginning. Now they're like, who the fuck is Jim Cornette? Like, it's just like, but yeah, let's kind of get into it, man. So obviously you said you're from where, Kentucky? Not Louisville? No.
Yeah,
Okay,
Louisville.
Louisville, Kentucky. So growing up, you got to talk to me, man. Like, how was Christmas growing up for you out in Louisville? Like, from your, what's your youngest Christmas memory until like just getting older? Like, what was it like out there in Louisville?
Christmas was a lot of like 50 degree days. Very gray, usually rainy, weather-wise anyway. But we never really did a ton of stuff on Christmas. We always did all of our big to-do on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
We'd all get together at my aunt and uncle's house, and there'd be like, 10 or 12 people in the house before everybody started to die. And
Well, that's awesome.
yeah, and it'd be like a real mixed bag of people, which was always fun. And just, go over for lunch, stay through midnight, 1, 2 o'clock, and then go home and open up a Christmas present because they always got to open up one and then go to sleep. And then the next morning, whenever everybody woke up, that then you would open up the stuff that was at your house. But like the most of the family stuff had already taken place by that point.
So, kind of a question in that. You said you were allowed to open up a Christmas present on Christmas Eve. I think a lot of people do this, but were you allowed to choose, or did your parents choose the one because they knew what it was?
I could pick pretty much whatever was out there. If there was something they didn't want me to open, it wouldn't be out there when we got home. Like it wouldn't
Oh,
take a
okay.
place under the tree. It would show up overnight. Or for a few years, my dad would do the thing of like, we would look at my mom and be like, is this all the presents? I thought there was some other stuff. Let me go look. And like wander off and come back with whatever the thing was he wanted to make a special deal.
Oh yeah, like, 'cause that's what I'm saying. Like, if all the presents were out, it's kind of like, oh, what if you were to open the big present? Sometimes, like, parents would be like, okay, don't open that one. That one's like for tomorrow. But you're right. If you came home, I guess depending what age you were, Santa still has to come, right? So more are gonna come out.
Yeah, and this was very much during the appearance of Santa Claus times.
Yeah. So just to kind of piggyback off this too. What was that ripe age where you realized Santa wasn't who your parents said he was?
Probably like 9 or 10, but I kept up the ruse for a couple of years after that. Until my dad was like, you know what? If you tell us you don't believe in Santa, you won't get less presents. You're getting a
Oh.
little old. And I was like, oh, thank God.
That's hilarious. Yeah, like I think that's the prime age, like 9, 10. Like I've told this story on my podcast before. My aunt is the one that broke the news to me because I was trying to be super like cool, right? I'm like, oh well, Santa Claus doesn't exist anyway. She's like, well, don't ruin it for the other kids.
Yeah.
Like really friggin' heartbroken. I didn't let on, but I kept up the ruse too for a couple years after that. You know what? I still kind of believe in Santa Claus, like.
If he was real, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, and even after that happened, I would still find like surprise presents under the tree, stockings would be filled, that kind of stuff. And like even into adulthood, like my mom and dad would call me and be like, "Hey, come over. We got a stocking. Somebody left some stuff in your stocking over here." And so I'd go and like pick up whatever Christmas stocking they'd put together for me.
That's amazing. Did you get that little tingle in your stomach when you'd go over? It's like, oh man, I feel like a kid again.
Yes, and pretty much every time, yeah.
Yeah, well,
And
it's
even
special,
now,
right?
like, yeah, and even now, like, we will have stockings for my daughter and my wife and me, and they will get mysteriously filled up, and always, and everyone maintains plausible deniability that we didn't do it. So
Good, man. So
you mentioned your daughter. So how old is your daughter now?
she's six.
So six. This is like prime time. Like I would say like the prime time ages for Christmas are like 4 to 7. I mean, they're all really good, but 4 to 7 is that real prime where they can really interact and like list for Santa. Like, do you guys do that whole thing? Do you do a list for Santa? Do you send it to the North Pole?
No, we don't do we actually don't do Santa.
Oh, are you joking?
No,
Oh
no.
my God. I think I gotta end the podcast right now.
I know I've ruined everything. Like we still do like stockings and put stuff in the stockings and things, but it was always like I don't know, it was never a thing that we were like, well, we got to make sure that we keep, Santa and Easter Bunny and all that stuff going.
So you guys are more of
And
like progressive parents where it's like, we're Santa and we're the Easter Bunny. Is that kind of how it is?
well, like, Santa is a state of mind.
For sure.
And that the angle that we've taken with it has been like, he's just like the representation of all the good things of Christmas, gifts and family and all that stuff. So like everybody gets to be Santa.
No,
We're
that's
just
true.
Santa to each other. Yeah.
Yeah, I can.
And like she'll go and like my wife will take her and they'll pick out a few little things. She'll get a new ornament every year that she goes to pick out. Stuff like that. And the new ornament goes on the tree and
Yeah.
eventually she's going to get her own tree in her room because she loves the act of decorating the tree and having it there to look at too much to not, let her have one in her room.
Yeah, no, that's really cool then. So I think one of the best parts of the tree is like having some lights on it so you get that glow from it. So yeah, like if she loves Christmas trees, put one in her room and frig, let her keep it all year if she wants, you know what I mean? It's got to be
Yeah,
special, I
because
guess. Yeah.
well, no, because I've got a Christmas tree that so I've got a little mini fridge next to the bed that has come from my came from my college dorm room and is still alive somehow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know, right? And I've got a little mini Christmas tree, like a 2 or 3 foot Christmas tree with lights on it that my wife got me a few years ago on clearance to like have a little bit of Christmas all throughout the year. So if, I'm having a rough day or something, I'll just turn on the lights, or if I just want the lights, I'll turn on the lights and have them on at night with the everything else out and dark.
That's
So
awesome. Isn't there, like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's some scientific thing with lights or how it feels or if it just brings back nostalgia. Christmas lights just add an ambiance that can't be duplicated by anything else. Like, you know what I mean? That's how I feel anyway. Like I put like this is my tradition. Like every Halloween after the kids would go trick-or-treating, I put up the tree. Wouldn't decorate it. I just put it up with the lights, and my God, man, like it just fills me up so much. I miss it throughout the year, so maybe I need to get like a little mini tree like you have. But something I have is like I brought it up on my podcast before is Christmas Corner. So I have an area. It's like this little cabinet that I painted like a red and a green. And then I have all like the family heirlooms in it from Christmas, some of my favorite stuff, just so it's in one part of the house so I can see it all the time. So like I would love to have a Christmas room, maybe someday, but I just can't dedicate a room to Christmas. And unless, like, I'd be lying, it'd be like a guest room, Christmas room, it wouldn't have the same vibe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
One of
so.
the things we've done is we've got one of those like light up trees, like a just like a light up ficus tree or whatever. And we decorate that for very we decorate that throughout the year with different colored ornaments and just random stuff. So like for we have we've bought we went all in on a bunch of those, you know, those felt target birds that you people were going crazy for.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah.
We got a bunch of those. We have a bunch of those, and they are the decorations for our seasonal tree. So
Okay.
like October, we had a bunch of the Universal Monsters, Featherly Friends. They got like Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein and Edgar Allan Poe's Raven and Dracula and stuff like that, and put those on the tree with orange and black, the little orange and black ornaments.
No, that's cool.
And we'll change the friends out for there's a one of the coolest ones is one that my wife wanted for years, and I found it on the eBay and got it for her for like Mother's Day one year. And it was the they have a Thanksgiving turkey one that's like three times the size of a normal bird.
Oh, wow.
And that's like the topper for the Thanksgiving tree.
Oh,
So
really?
that goes on that little light up tree that we keep in the hallway so we can see it all year round.
Yeah. No, that's really awesome. You don't find that like having it around all the time like kills the magic of Christmas, or to just keep your spirits up all year, kind of just changing it out or whatever? 'Cause you're a big horror and Halloween guy too, right?
Yeah. I think that like changing it out is fun
Yeah.
because it's like always a it doesn't really affect the magic of Christmas for me because the Christmas tree is the Christmas tree. This
No,
is
for sure.
just the holiday tree. And this is
Yeah.
just, you know, this bad boy just stays up 11 months of the year and then goes away when the Christmas tree comes out usually.
Oh, that's hilarious. So it's like a little reverse thing. Yeah. That's really cool. My thing is like I would love something like that. I guess I like the Christmas corner is my thing, but with the Christmas tree, I don't know what it is. I love just the process of, you know, going to get it wherever it is, bringing it out of the box, setting it up, fluffing it. Like I want it to feel special, but I've been accused of, you know, I'm guilty of in the past, like kind of making Christmas unfun because I overplan for it because I'm so excited for it. You know what I mean? So maybe I should let loose a little bit and have a little mini tree like you do around the house and like decorate it seasonally, like Easter. I won't do Valentine's because Valentine's is whack. But yeah, definitely some kind of like fall tree or like Halloween tree. Well, technically, we do have a Halloween tree. It's black and we decorate it with like the Hallmark keepsakes. The Nightmare Before Christmas style or whatever else they have, like the Sanderson sisters. I don't
Oh,
know if you
nice.
Hallmark. Do you like Hallmark ornaments?
I do like Hallmark ornaments. I don't just don't have much of them.
Oh, really?
They're
Yeah.
always too
Well,
expensive for me.
yeah, they've gotten really expensive and kind of silly. Like I personally think Hallmark is a dying brand. I think a lot has been lost in the hometown touch of Hallmark. Like a lot of them closed down. Like my favorite Hallmark store closed down, and it was sad because all the ladies that worked there, you had a relationship with them. Like you saw them all the time when you went in for your ornaments, and then they're all closing down. And like I think they're really going to be geared more towards online soon, but Hallmark feels more in person to me. Or maybe we're just old, man. I don't know. I feel like it's
I
really
think
fun
it's
to go in and have those Hallmark parties that they would have at release day. You know what I mean?
yeah, and I feel like that's just something that's gonna I feel like that's a thing that's gonna come back
You
at
think
some
so?
point because I feel like people are craving like the amount of times I see people like have parties at record stores for record release day and then you know,
Yeah.
whoever so and so the big artist puts out a record and like 50 or 100 people jam into this little store to listen to it at the same time. I feel
Yeah.
like there's definitely like a market for that kind of thing. I just don't know if you can, if it's something that is sustainable on like a level of like supporting the entire Hallmark chain, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Because I think the Hallmark chain is widely supported by their keepsakes. So I agree with you. I have kids and they're big into vinyls and things like that. Like digital is cool. It's cool to have like a little digital collection and it's easy to have Spotify, but there's something to be said to have a physical copy of something and be around people because everything is so non-physical now. Everything is just done. You can literally live your life by yourself, never leave your house if you want to work from home. And you're not like, you know, you're not interacting with people. And I think people are going to start to crave it, at least like you, I hope they do. And they'll have like some of these
Yeah.
parties with like old ornaments, and there's still like a market for that now. Like everybody wants vintage ornaments, but now what's crazy is vintage is 90s stuff, which is sad, but like getting your hands on like some vintage market like ornaments is phenomenal. So like I hope as the digital age continues to grow, and I don't know how much more it can grow because it's basically here, I really hope that people do get together and do things on a more physical level. And I think they're going to crave that because honestly, who wants to live life like this, like alone and just like online all the time? Like my kids come home from school and like all they're doing is they're on their phones, they're playing video games and they're talking to their friends. Like I don't think kids like go out and play anymore, man. It's really weird.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing about this modern age. Like you and I are roughly the same age, but I just had my child way later in life.
Yeah.
And it's weird to see how much that pendulum is shifting for this, specifically this younger elementary schoolish generation. They're still having them do stuff on like tablets and computers and whatnot, but also like the kids are like more resistant to it, which is funny.
Yeah.
Like my daughter, they're like, well, we want her to use the computer because there's this, because there's this reading program on there and it adjusts automatically to her like reading level or whatever. But she doesn't want to use the computer. She just wants to read actual physical books.
Oh man, so this could be the tide turning with this new generation. Which
I
would
feel
be
like
so
they're at the
unique.
point where it's I feel like it's at the point where it's not the cool novelty that it is for like a 14 or 15 year old.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of the pendulum is swinging back the other way, right? Because like when I was young, like I didn't have a computer until I was in like high school. And then I was obsessed with the computer and
Yeah.
building them and doing stuff on them for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And then when I hit my like 20s and 30s, I was like less interested in it. Now, like I've got, I don't, my desktop computer or my laptop computer upstairs is like 15 years old, and I'm afraid to boot it up because the next time I boot it up might be the last time it boots up, and I've got a bunch of like articles and stuff I need to rescue off of it before it fully dies.
Oh man. I wanted to ask you, because I've kind of been through this, but you don't do the Santa thing, which is fair. But did you find when you had your daughter, like your wife and you like had your daughter, did you find that it brought some magic back to Christmas, or were you always kind of into it? Or like when you had your kid, it really like revitalized like not your belief, but almost like your I explain it like it almost was like these neurons in my body were like so stagnant forever. And then I had kids and then I was like, wait a second, I can be Santa. I can do these things. And witnessing them witness the season, did it revitalize your love of Christmas, or was it always there with you? Like, did you never lose it, or did it really help it when she was born?
For most of my life, I've not had a love of Christmas
Really?
in like my 20s. And yeah, like, and especially after my dad died, like my interest in Christmas had just dried up to where we didn't even really do much for a couple of years.
Oh man, that's kind of
And
sad.
it was like 2017, 2018, I forget when. But we were walking around on like December Christmas week. We were walking around in a pretty cool neighborhood and we found this little Christmas pop-up bar that this restaurant does every year called Miracle on Market. And we're like, well, let's
Oh.
go in and check it out. So we went in and checked it out. We had a really good time, just looking at all the cheesy decorations and stuff. And it was like, why did we just, because like my dad died in January of 2015, I want to say.
Yeah.
No, yeah, something like 2016, maybe. Anyway, my dad died, and then like 2 weeks later, my father-in-law died. So that kind of killed the holiday season for me and my wife
Oh
at
my
the same time.
gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, talk about a great January.
Oh
That
my
was
gosh.
wonderful. And with my dad, it was like he died literally on like January 4th. So like the last memory I have of him is like watching me and we went up to the hospital and we watched like the ball drop, and then I had to
Wow.
leave because that visiting they ran you out for visiting
Yeah.
hours. And then like 3 days after that, he was dead.
Sucks, man.
Yeah, it did suck. It was not great. But we went to that thing and we were like, you know what? My wife was like, you know what? Your dad would probably want us to enjoy Christmas because he always loved the holidays and hanging out and doing stuff and, you know, watching cheesy movies and all that good stuff. So he's like,
Yeah.
your dad would want us to like enjoy Christmas. So we were like, all right, screw it. Let's enjoy Christmas. And we had a good Christmas that year. And that's how I got involved with like the Christmas Podcast Network folks.
Yeah.
Because she was like, you should check out this podcast. And she linked me to like Tis the Podcast. And, you know, that pulled me right into it where I was like participating on their Reddit board when they were maintaining that and like talking to those guys offline. And, you know, that was a really a weird part of me like reclaiming the fact that I can enjoy the holidays again.
Yeah. And
And
did you find that it like filled you up emotionally after? Like, did, 'cause you said your dad really liked the holidays and doing stuff. Did you feel like in your heart, like, oh, maybe like my dad liked this stuff. Like, I can let it in again and it not be like depressing. Like, 'cause obviously, like, I think Christmas coincides with New Year's because it is that like vacation time and it is that holiday. Like, did you feel in yourself where it's like, you know what? Like, my dad enjoyed it. Like, I can carry that on too. Or is that not something that was really in your mind?
it was less a thing of me carrying it on and more a thing of like he would be sad that I wasn't enjoying this.
Yeah. I think you touched on something really like I deal with this too. So I think with I don't know if you do therapy. I've been in therapy. When they talk about grief, like they say, okay, like grief is not linear, but it's one of those like grief is something that you just never really get over. It's almost like a festering thing. And it just like sometimes you don't forget about it. There's just days that it's bad and some days it's not good, but it's not as bad. So it's like I find with grief, man, like it's one of these things that like it really comes around in the holidays too. And it's
Oh,
really
yeah.
hard to like enjoy things after. And what you're talking about is honoring, not honoring your dad, but like he wouldn't want you to like be sad. And I think that's what a lot of people need to think sometimes, because I think in honoring and grieving people that have passed, like you'll never get over your dad passing. That'll never be something any kid gets over. Because that's just what it is. But I feel like we need to take the mindset that your wife kind of like put in you, where it's like they wouldn't want us to sit here being sad, even though it's really fucking hard not to. It's like you need to like honor them by enjoying similar things that they liked. And even if you don't want to, it's like they don't want you to sit there and be sad. So whether they can see you now, whether they can feel you now, whatever you believe in, like I think what she said was good, and I think it helped you, and I think it could help me. I think it'd help a lot of people. Like, we don't have to sit here and be sad. We can honor them without being sad, because chances are they'd be so mad at you if you're just sitting there being a mope. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And everybody in my family tends to die around the holiday season. Like my uncle died in November, a couple weeks before Thanksgiving. My aunt on the other side of my family died literally like 2 days after Thanksgiving. Like the
Oh my
last time I saw
gosh.
her was on Thanksgiving, like the next day, or she went into heart failure and died.
Wow.
So my dad in November, my grandmother in November. Or my grandmother in January, excuse me, my dad in January.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to die like around the holidays. And then my cousin died on my birthday, which was weird,
Oh my
which is not
gosh.
in November, but still a weird time to like die.
Holy shit, is there people alive in your family still? Like, god dang, man, this is rough. Like, it feels like
Like
you've.
five, like six,
Oh,
six or
geez.
seven.
I was trying to
Yeah,
tell
out
more of a
of
joke, but you're being. Oh my
the no.
gosh.
No, you're fine. It's okay. It's just, you know, they keep,
Yeah.
you know, my cousin finally got married after like 50 years, so of living a having a really fun time in life.
Yeah.
So like he's brought in more people, so good for him.
No, that's good. So Are you like me? Because I deal with like horrendous health anxiety. It's just how I am. Do you have a morbid mind where when like the holidays come around, you kind of like have this thing in the back of your mind? It's like, well, like, is it my turn? Like, you know what I mean? Or do you not think on that level?
I don't think on that level because I
Yeah,
believe
see.
in the power of denial.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Like when I was asking that question, I'm like, is this weird? But like that's how I think. Maybe a lot of other people do too. Like it's the same thing. Like I growing up, I never thought I'd live past like 29 or something. I don't know. It was just always in my mind. I've always had this morbid outlook, but yeah, I wondered if like when the holidays come around, you're like, well, everybody else has done it. Am I gonna do it this year? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I think it helps that they've all died like natural deaths and not
Yeah.
like taking the self-checkout lane.
Oh
I
yeah.
always assumed that, like, I always assumed that I would have taken the self-checkout lane by at some point before now, and glad I didn't because.
Well, I'm glad you didn't either, man. And I think like I we won't get too deep into it, but like what helped you get out of that? Or you still deal with that?
I still have a lot of struggles with depression.
Yeah.
But it's like, I've always kind of had the mindset of I'm not going to let the haters win,
Yeah.
so to speak. Like the whoever these mysterious forces I feel that are rooting for me to succumb to the dark thoughts, like
Yeah.
I'm not going to give them the satisfaction of that. If I'm going to die, it's good because I,
Ate too much brisket.
it's because I bought a smoker
Yeah.
or I
Yeah.
tried to deep fry a turkey and it exploded. I'm not gonna go down easy. I'm gonna
Yeah.
go out,
So you're basically what you're saying is like you're almost too stubborn to off yourself, which is kind of a good thing in your situation.
Yeah, 100%. And now, like, I don't have a choice. I got to stick around for as long as I can because, I've got this
Yeah.
6-year-old who needs me.
Yeah. Well, like I think that's like a big driving force for you, but like let me tell you as somebody that knows you, like I've never not had an enjoyable time talking to you. I find you to be like honest, open. We're both pretty straightforward guys, and like I've always had such a good time anytime I talk to you. It's always relaxed. It's always like I think you're salt of the earth. I don't care what demons you have in your closet. Like I know who I feel like when we talk, man, and you're a great fucking guy, and like I want you to stick around for the long haul. And like it's funny that you say like these dark forces that want me to do this. Like a lot of people don't understand what that means, but if you've never dealt with depression on a severe level, you just don't quite understand because there's so it's like the devil on the shoulder, but there's like 50 of them in it. They're not voices. Sometimes they can be, but sometimes you feel like there's just this force that wants you to do it. And like if you can really defeat that, man, it's a huge goddamn accomplishment. I'm telling you right now. So like as your buddy, I'm not being all like oh, we really need you here. No, I really mean it, man. Like I really you have your daughter. Like you have your wife and like you got a lot of people in the Christmas Podcast Network that care about you. We're not family, but I would never want to hear that news. And I want you to stick around for a long time. And if the only way me and you are going out is a heart attack, okay? Hopefully.
That's pretty much what I'm expecting regardless.
Yeah, I'm just hoping I survive the first one, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, like
Go ahead.
pretty
Sorry.
much everybody in my family who has died has made it to their 70s, except for my dad, and had a monster heart attack and just was pretty much gone.
Oh,
So,
man. That's something to look forward to.
that's a pretty good, like, if I could make this, like, 75 and just go to sleep one day and not wake up, that's the perfect out.
Well, be a good friend to yourself too. If you know you have that history, there's a lot of things that could be done now. So let's say you have a clog here or there, you get it checked out, get a stent or a little surgery. It could add 20 years to your life. You could live till you're 85, buddy. I don't even know if I want to do that. I'm just saying, you know, and if you have the history, this podcast has turned into like the morbid Christmas podcast. I love it, but I like having conversations
Well,
that go everywhere.
that's funny because my dad, because he died early because they screwed up his paperwork. at
Oh yeah.
the cardiologist and the insurance. They screwed up his paperwork, so they wouldn't give him the cath lab test that they wanted to. Like, his cardiologist was like, "We want to do the cath lab where they run the tube up your artery and they check your heart, like
Yeah.
with a camera." And through various screw ups, they were like, the insurance company didn't approve it, so they did the other test and he came out fine. And then like 3 months later, he has a massive heart attack.
Oh my
Because
gosh.
if they had done like the cath lab, they would have seen that he had the blockages. They could have put stents in, and it would have been literally like overnight in the hospital. The next day, you go home and you're fine.
Yeah, which is crazy. They could just put stents in now and it extends your life 25 years or more. Like, you know what I mean? It's wild how
Yeah,
medicine.
like, and my mom's husband, he just got a stent put in his heart that was literally like outpatient surgery.
Yeah, it's like you go in, get it done, you go home.
Yeah, that's literally what happened. And then he went home, and like, he was like, once he recovered from like the anesthesia, he immediately felt better than
Well,
he
yeah, you're
did
getting
before
more
he went
blood
in there to get
flow.
the stent in.
You're getting
Yeah.
proper blood flow in your body that you weren't realizing you weren't getting, and it's probably that your oxygen levels are improving and you're getting just more function out of life, and he's probably feeling 10 times better. But yeah, let's kind of like gear into now, like you're into movies. Let's stop talking about death because so many people have turned this off already, but we don't give a shit. So you're obviously into horror movies, but let's kind of talk about Christmas movies. Give me Ron's top three. What is your, you know what? Give me your top three favorites, and then after that, give me your top three overrateds.
Okay. Top three favorites. Christmas Vacation,
Yeah.
probably number one. Elf wasn't one I watched until I married my wife, until I started dating my wife, and she's a big Elf person, so we watch Elf every year, and it kind of hooked me.
Yeah.
But it was. It had come out when I was in the depths of my not celebrating Christmas period, so I'd never seen it. So that was a fun surprise. And
So you're putting that too?
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's just there's not really an order. It's just as I remember them. But like,
Yeah.
third is going to be Muppet Christmas Carol,
Okay,
because
yeah.
my daughter, after we tried to watch it when she was like 4, and she was not into it at all. She just didn't like the Muppets for whatever reason. But then
Yeah.
we watched it last year, and she was all about it. And we watched it a dozen times, and it was awesome. And she was singing the songs and like laughing at Rizzo, like falling into the bucket of ice or the bucket of water, and
Yeah. It's so fu
she was like doing the Marley and Marley song and like doing the
It's so
whoa.
funny with
And so
Muppet
that, like,
Christmas Carol. Sorry,
no, go for it.
I never gave it a chance. And I would always just talk shit on it. I'm like, oh, it's terrible. But like Mike Westfall, he was a big advocate. So I kind of like promised him, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give this the old college try and I'm going to watch it. Well, you know what? I watched the whole thing. And if it's not the sweetest, most, I never watched it growing up, but you can feel how nostalgic it is. It just feels so cozy. It is such a cute little film. And I love it. I love it now. It's not in my top five, but like I've watched it like 4 times this year. I liked it that much.
But what's weird is, as somebody who's read The Christmas Carol, like the book,
Yeah.
it's the most book accurate version that they've put out since like Alistair Sim. And even
Yeah.
Alistair Sim took some liberties with some stuff,
You know
which is
what? It's
really weird
funny.
because the
Anthony
whole
says the
line
same
about
thing. Sorry.
that's not a surprise because it's true. Like,
Yeah.
the whole part where Gonzo was like, and Tiny Tim, who did not die, people think that's something they threw in for the Muppet movie. No, that's the thing in the actual text that they don't include in any other adaptation. Like,
Yeah.
Dickens literally put that line in there because people were so upset that they thought Tiny Tim was going to die. And back when it was published like serially, right? So he would put like a couple of, a chapter or whatever per week leading up to Christmas. And people were like writing him as he was writing it, and like, you can't kill Tiny Tim. We're coming to your house and we're going to burn it down or whatever. So he's like, all right, we'll hit that line real hard that Tiny Tim doesn't die and becomes like Scrooge's, protege or whatever. And yeah, that's really funny. But yeah, those are probably my top three right now. Just going off of like legitimate Christmas movies and not giving you like my favorite Christmas horror movie answers.
Well, give me your favorite Christmas horror movie then.
Oh man. I really like the everybody likes Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 because of the garbage day joke. And I can appreciate that. And I also appreciate the fact that Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 means you don't have to watch Silent Night, Deadly Night 1 because they give you the same movie in half the time. But my favorite one is probably Krampus. And I know
Krampus,
it's
they
like
did
talked
really
to.
well. They did really well with it.
Yes.
I thought it was pretty decent.
It's weird because it's both like it both has like some pretty good horror stuff. It's really funny. And it also has some weird Christmas feels, which is a strange thing to have
No, I agree with you.
in
I
any movie with
expected
David
nothing out of
Koechner.
it. I expected nothing out of it when I watched it, and I was pleasantly surprised. Some of it I didn't like, but you're not going to get 100% of what you like in a movie. But man, honestly, it was pretty well done.
And it makes sense that the same guy did Trick or Treat, the best Halloween movie.
That's your favorite Halloween movie?
Oh, well, no, my favorite Halloween movie is Halloween.
Yeah,
But
I was gonna say, because I kind of did want to get into that too. You know what? First, give me your three overrateds, and let's kind of get into horror a bit. So, what are your most
okay.
three overrateds for Christmas?
This is tough for me because I don't know what people rate as like.
Well, let's say like let's say like everybody kind of agrees that like movies like Home Alone, or you don't have to think it's overrated, but something like that is like world loved, and you're just like, I don't get it. You know what I mean?
The thing is, most of the ones that the world loves, I would say, oh, that's fine. Like the Santa Claus.
Yeah. You're gonna say that's overrated?
I'd say that's overrated. I'd say that's pretty good. Like I enjoy it for what it is, but it's not something I feel like should be in like the Christmas canon.
Oh wow, we should have a fist fight.
Like, no. I don't want to yuck anybody's yum. It's okay. I don't like Tim Allen. That's probably part of it.
You don't like him like as an actor?
No, I don't like him as an actor because he keeps kind of leaning on the same. He's doing the been doing the same shtick for like 4 years at this point, right?
Yeah, he's
And I've
basically
seen
the
him.
same character in all his new shows that he is like.
Yeah, and I don't, especially, I never like super loved that character when it was like fresh on Home Improvement. So, and it was always been just that's fine, just writ large to me.
Damn, when you called Santa Claus overrated, I definitely should have pulled out a
Well, he would have, that's for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. Okay, so then whatever. I'm not gonna make you name three overrateds. Let's talk about horror films because you did talk about Halloween. I think that's the world-renowned best horror film of all time. I consider myself a big horror fan. I'm not like a horror buff. Like compared to you, you're like the Godfather. I'd be like, just like a foot soldier. You know what I mean? But what got you into horror? Did you start when you were young, or was it just something that came along later in your age? Or like what got you started in it? Like what was your first memory of horror?
My grandmother, for some reason, had the movie channel. And I would go, like, spend the night at her house and, like, just sleep with the TV on. And I would just have it on the movie channel. And then all of a sudden, there was this weird Texas guy named Joe Bob Briggs who showed up. talking about this crazy movie where people were cutting each other up with chainsaws, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll check this out. And there's going to be gallons of blood and boobs and like freaky deaky psychedelics, and I was like, okay, cool, I like
Blood and
this.
boobs, sign me up. Just like
Yeah, I was like, you at first you had my interest, but now you have my attention.
yes, I understood that reference. Not just saying.
Yeah, so that led to a lot of watching like USA Up All Night and watching Gilbert Gottfried yell about the Toxic Avenger or Monster Vision. I watched a ton of Monster Vision. Weirdly enough, my dad was the person who introduced me to Mystery Science Theater 3000,
Oh,
because he
wow.
was like, they're watching this, they're making fun of these old movies while they watch them. You should check it out on this channel. And after that, they're going to show Gumby shorts. So like, I was like, all right, cool. So I'm one of the few people who watched the syndicated Mystery Science Theater Hour, which was followed by like half an hour of Gumby, which was the Gumby shorts, if you've never seen them, are weird as hell. They're awesome.
I don't think I have.
And this
Unless.
was when I was like, I don't know, 12 or 13, 11, 12, 13. So yeah, so I guess I come by it naturally.
Yeah.
I remember when I was like 9 or 10, my mom and I watched Psycho on AMC back when it was Movie Classics.
Oh,
She
yeah.
was like, oh, you're gonna like this. Check this out. Just wait till the mom shows up.
I thought it was really funny that you're like, yeah, I watched it with my mom, considering
Yeah.
the actual Norman Bates angle there. No, that's funny though. Okay, so this is what I always ask myself, and I've had this conversation with Anthony with horror. What, okay, we're talking like new school horror, because I think when you look at the 70s, 80s, all that genre, like it's the classic stuff, but is there any new movies that have really given you like a horror feel that you got back then, or is it just all kind of like recycled shit at this point? Or like, because for me, I know something like when I first watched like Conjuring 1, you might hate it, I don't know what you think about it. It gave me that old school, like, oh, this is a creepy vibe. Like, do you have any movies, like newer movies, that kind of give you that vibe, or is it just kind of like wishy-washy now?
I love all those Conjuring movies. So I'm on board with those. I love Sinister and
Yeah, I
that
really love
ilk.
two. Conjuring 2, I felt was better than 1 for me.
Yeah, Conjuring 2 I think is my favorite of the Conjuring series, but it's difficult for me to make that judgment call without like watching them.
Yeah. No,
Even
for sure.
like I loved Hell House LLC, if you haven't seen that.
I haven't. I'm going to actually write that down after when I'm listening to this again. I have not seen that.
But it's like a found footage movie that takes place in a haunted house.
Oh, okay.
Like people who are doing a haunted house in an old abandoned like haunted hotel.
Yeah.
And as they're like doing their fake haunted house, real haunted house shit starts to happen. It's really good.
Oh man, that sounds really cool. So, like, let me ask you then, were you a fan of Blair Witch Project, since we're kind of on that found footage? Was that a big thing for you, like when you were young? I guess we're the same age, aren't we? What are you, 42?
I am 44, so
Oh, crap.
close
Okay, yeah,
enough.
we're 4 years apart then. I'll be 40 next month. So,
Oh,
like,
shut up, child.
was Blair Witch something that you really got into, or no?
Blair Witch, I wanted to like, but I couldn't watch it because that's how I learned that I get motion sickness.
Oh, right. I think we've discussed this before at one point. I forget when. I think I remember you telling me that at some point, maybe over like Instagram. So you couldn't watch it, eh? So you could still watch something like Paranormal Activity. What'd you think about those? Because those are more
I
still
like the
shots.
Paranormal Activity movies. I like them a lot. I was a huge fan. One of the things one of the first things I wrote for Den of Geek that went viral, such as it was I wrote a thing about how the Paranormal Activity movies were the Paranormal Activity movie, the first one, was being marketed, and because they were doing it like a traditional roadshow picture,
Yeah.
where They didn't have enough sc they didn't have enough prints for like a wide release, but they would put it in like 20 cities at once and then move it to 20 other cities or whatever. And it
Yeah.
was like, you got 2 weeks to see Paranormal Activity here and then write us and request Paranormal Activity. And like they would use the press clippings from like their New York visit to like promote their appearance in, Kansas City or whatever. And it was literally like, that's how movies used to be shown before Spielberg and company started to roll out in 1,000 screens at once, right?
Yeah.
And I just thought it was the coolest thing that they brought back literally the original type of movie marketing, where you just went from town to town and like pumped up public interest in however the best way you could is, and then like give them the goods if you got the goods. And Paranormal Activity thankfully had the goods enough to be like do like six movies. And there's something I enjoy about all of them,
Yeah.
but I really love the inventiveness of how Paranormal Activity always have to have the Paranormal Activity flicks always have to have some kind of gimmick, whether it's like the camera that's mounted on the fan housing so it rotates slowly back and forth and then you get a jump scare, or when they're using like the Microsoft Kinect on that one in two, I think.
Yeah.
And the dots, you can see a person moving around in the dots, but there's actually not a body there. I appreciate any kind of like novel. If you can give me a good novelty scare, I'm super thrilled. So I was a big fan of those and still am.
So what is your, like, 'cause I know my favorite Paranormal Activity, it's close, but it's like, I really liked three. When I guess it went back in time when the girls were younger. I love one, obviously. I remember watching that in the theater and just being like, this is friggin' cool. But I really like three for some reason. I don't know if you like, give me your thoughts on it. Did you like three?
Three was probably my favorite. I think
See,
three, one.
I'm with the pro now. I like what he likes. See, I have good taste.
Three actually had the best like setup for. Why do these people have cameras on it all the time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like the dude's job was like, I do wedding videos, so I've literally got three or four cameras just sitting around my house at any point. And I've got, Betamax, dub, I could dub to Beta and VHS,
Yeah.
which was also a fun novelty. I loved seeing the old Betamax players because my uncle had one, and he had a he was the first person I ever met. I ever knew that had a satellite dish, and it was
Oh,
one of
man.
those satellite dishes where you could just where the whole dish moved to like watch a thing,
Dang, was he
and
rich? You
that's
had to be
how.
rich to have one of those back in the day, didn't you?
No, well, he wasn't rich. He was never rich, but he prioritized it because he had a side business of bookmaking,
Okay.
and he needed to be able to like watch all the sports and keep up with all the sports before ESPN was available on our cable system.
Yeah.
So he was like, well, I can take some of this money out of the shoebox and use it to buy a dish. And he got the black box so we could watch all the pay-per-views and shit. So
Yeah.
that's also how I became a huge fan of professional wrestling, because we got to watch every pay-per-view that came out on his big satellite dish from his backyard.
Oh, that's amazing. I love how we haven't even talked about wrestling yet. I just I feel like we could talk forever, but yeah, so I wanted to get your opinion on what, okay, I want from your opinion, you kind of are into this, obviously. This is like your line of work essentially. What makes the original Halloween so special to you?
It was the convergence of soundtrack with directorial skill. Like, say what you want to about John Carpenter. Yeah, he's a cranky old man now, but dude knows what he's doing behind a camera.
Yeah.
So you had Carpenter, you had Dean Cundey, you have that really, really sharp, natural sounding script. Those kids sound like teenagers, even though they all look And they all actually are fairly close to being teenagers, even though they look 40 now.
They really do.
Yeah, and Jamie Lee Curtis is like 19 years old, which is insane, but people just looked older back then because cigarettes, I guess.
It's the famous scene
And
we're
you.
all thinking of when they're walking down the sidewalk and they see Michael. And as they're walking, as I watch it now, I'm like, all of them look like they're 33. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And just having watched it, a couple weeks ago for ha on Halloween night, as I usually do, I was struck again by how old they all looked and by to modernize. But man, it's a great script, but the music is 100% like what sells it better than anything. And even Carpenter himself will say that, they did the first test screening. They didn't have any soundtrack to it. They didn't put a temp score in. And it was a dud. Like the studio hated it. But when he put that score back in there that he wrote himself, it immediately caught fire and like made the movie
Yeah.
what it is. So.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Let's kind of gear it back now towards Christmas, because like, I mean, I feel like we could talk forever, but I try to keep these under an hour. Let's say long time from now, we hope. You know, you're near the end of your life, and if you could think of one Christmas memory that really sticks out to you, what is it? Like, one that really brings you back. Like, it could be, I obviously, with your daughter, or like when you were younger, but like, what's that one? Something's got to come to mind when I say that. What's the one memory you think of when I say, tell me your favorite Christmas memory?
Oh, yeah. When she was 2 years old, or 3 years old, my daughter,
Yeah.
she learned how to put ornaments on the trees.
Okay.
So we're doing this with a 2-year-old, and she's got her little matching Christmas pajamas on. And she's carefully putting these ornaments on the tree one at a time, hanging them on each individual branch. And there's just, the ornaments are 2 feet off of the ground and they're all clustered in the same area, but it's the most perfect Christmas tree I've ever seen.
Do you have a picture of it or no?
Yeah, I'll have to find it. But yeah,
Yeah.
I've got pictures, and my wife took pictures, and it was just the most delightful thing that could have happened. Like,
Yeah. I think
because
maybe
this was right before. Yeah.
if you could find that
No, go.
picture, we can use it for the episode photo. But yeah.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find it. Which is
Sorry,
like a cop out
I had to clear my throat
answer,
there.
right? But
No, it's a good answer. I'm
yeah.
saying, like, that's kind of like what people, like, a lot of people have like the simplest memories. Like, one of my favorite Christmas memories, like, with my girls, but I've explained it before, like, long time ago. It was a breaking of the ice between me and my stepdad, and that's my favorite Christmas memory, just because it was so organic. I've said it on the show before, I don't need to say it again, but it could be anything so small. Like, I remember, like you said, like when they finally start learning to put them on the tree, because I remember the first couple of years they were just like tossing ornaments at the tree like baseballs, like, which was still cute, but it was pretty annoying. But I would take that annoyance now in their teens and go back and revisit it, and I would clean those ornaments up for a million days if I had to. Like, you know what I mean? So I think it's like a really good
Oh, 100
memory to
percent.
have. But yeah. So we already had our Thanksgiving, because obviously I'm a Canadiano. You're in the States. What are your plans here coming up for Thanksgiving? You gonna spend it with some family? What do you guys do out there?
We the same aunt and uncle that we'd always do Christmas with, we would always do Thanksgiving with.
Okay.
So and even now we still go out to my aunt's house and have a big meal, and everybody hangs out and yells at the TV because the Cowboys are losing or whatever.
Are you a Cowboys fan, actually?
No, not at all.
I forget. You told me, are you a Bengals fan?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, that's what I thought it was. I was trying to think. Yeah. You know what? You got my boy Joe Flacco there right now, and he's killing
That's
it.
true.
You guys have no defense. What is going on?
No.
And we all knew that's what was going to happen too. Like, I mean, you have, I think it's something like 56% of your cap in three players in Burrow, Higgins, and Chase, which is fine. They're amazing players, but okay, here's my question now. Let's kind of like, we're going to wrap this up soon, but a lot of people have been asking, is Burrow overrated because of what Flacco's doing, or is he really good? And this is just Flacco benefiting from just having the amazing players around him. Is Burrow overrated?
I do not think Burrow is overrated.
I don't either. I don't buy it. I think Burrow's really good because there's been times when he has sliced and diced and carved defenses, and it wasn't just throwing up a prayer to Higgins or Chase. Like, he is precise. Like, I hate playing Burrow, and I'm sure I'm a Ravens fan. You've watched those games. Him and Lamar just go back and forth, and it feels like the last one to score wins. I hate Burrow. I
Yeah.
think he's really friggin' good. I don't buy this overrated like stuff that they're bringing up now just because Flacco's doing well. I think Burrow is legit. I think you should have won MVP last year, but I guess
Definitely.
the numbers were there. I've never understood that. And that's what we're getting into this year, where it's like, oh, Lamar's team is so good around him. Even if he wasn't around, they'd still be winning. And then you see what they look like without him. And it's like,
Yeah.
okay, Josh is really good. I'm not taking anything away from Josh Allen. He's really good. But if we're just talking about most valuable player, like Burrow had the numbers, but like I guess it has to go with record and all that stuff. But Burrow was the MVP and Lamar was better than Josh. I'm sorry. But yeah, I don't think you can win an MVP by like and be overrated. I think Burrow is one of the better quarterbacks to come out in a long, long time.
And look, I think that everybody knows Flacco is probably going to regress because, teams know how to scheme for him.
Well, he's not
But
mobile. Pressure, pressure,
exactly.
pressure is what you need to do.
And that offensive line will not protect him to save his life.
Yeah,
So I
exactly.
really hope he's got good insurance because he's going to need it.
You know what? He made great money from us. He's what, 41, and he's still doing it. I'm proud of him, man. I literally have Joe Flacco's signature tattooed on my body. So it's
Oh,
like,
nice.
yeah, I got it on my inner arm. I got Lamar on the other side too. Those are like, I call Lamar my black son, and I call Joe Flacco my Italian son. So it's just like, those are like two of my favorite players ever. Everybody's always like, what about Ray Lewis? Like, don't get me wrong, I respect the play. I just can't get behind the man because of all
He's
the
not,
stuff
and
that happened. Like, I
he's not
can't,
likable.
he's not. And like, it's one thing to like, be regretful for things you did, but he's never taken it like responsibility. Like, I'm not saying he killed anybody. He didn't do it, but he hid evidence and he protected his friend that did. You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
then the one thing that pushed me over the edge is I'm watching an interview with him and he uses religion as a scapegoat. And he's like, well, if I had done these things I'm accused of, God wouldn't let me be in the position I'm in right now. And I'm like, I can't stand this guy because religion is fine. What you believe in, fantastic. But once you hide behind God and you hide behind religion, it just makes you look terrible. And I just, ever since then, I couldn't take it to a level where like I respected Ray Lewis as a man. I respect the player, but everybody's like, oh, why don't you get Ray Lewis tatted on you somewhere? I was like, I would never do that. And I think you know where I'm coming from on that. Like, you know what I mean?
I do. Yeah, and that's offensive. Like that's obnoxious and irritating, and that makes people who believe in God look like terrible people because you're going to get lumped in with a dude like that who's just using it as a shield. But also, even before that, I was never a big Ray Lewis guy because I always noticed he would jump onto piles after the play was over and then get up and dance like he did something. Like, yeah, you're celebrating the fact that, Tony Siragusa already dragged the guy down and was laying on top of him, and then you just jumped on top of the pile. Like, good job, man. Ed Reed was already there. Ed Reed was already there, hit him and left. And then you come in and dance. Like, come on, man.
You want to talk about a player that I respect and was one of the best to ever do it. I'm so happy I got to watch Ed Reed play. As much as that guy
Oh,
broke
yeah.
my heart, Troy Polamalu, fun to watch. You know what I mean? We could talk about football forever. It's just like,
Yeah, and like, because we come from the era where we got to watch just nothing but great safeties, just back to
oh
back to back.
yeah, and a lot of like a few of them happened to play for the Ravens, so like it kind of like
Yeah.
it worked out. You guys, I'm trying to think of a safety you guys had that was I really liked. Who was it? I know you had one decent safety. I'm trying to think of who it was.
Oh, I'm blanking on who it is now, but I know who you're talking about.
But he wasn't like a, I don't think he was ever a Hall of Famer, but anytime we played on, like, man, that guy's like really, really good. I can't think of his name right now, but there's a lot of obviously
No,
Ocho Cinco, Chad
he
Johnson
was one of
was.
those like Hall of very good type of guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't, it's pissing me off that I can't think about it now. But yeah, like you guys have had like a few really good players on your team. Like I want to say Ray Mayaluga played for you guys, right? Do you
Yes.
remember him? I really liked him.
I
I thought
do.
he, I think he was a middle linebacker. I think he
Yes.
was a Bengal. Yeah, like I really, really wanted him coming out of the draft. But I respect the Bengals. Like I hated when you guys made the Super Bowl. It made me sick. I prayed to God you didn't win. Thankfully,
Well,
so.
you got your wish. Thanks.
Yeah, it was pure jealousy, but he got a little insufferable with the Joe Cool shit. So I was like, nah, this guy cannot win. There's only one Joe Cool, and he plays for your team now, oddly enough. Because that's what he always used to be
No.
called, right?
The real Joe Cool is Joe Montana.
It's true. Okay, yeah. So obviously Montana, but Joe. Listen, Flacco needs his props. Is he a Hall of Famer? I would say probably. But like maybe not, I don't know. But that guy matched Montana's record in when he won the Super Bowl. I think he had like 18 touchdowns, zero picks or something. And that matched Montana's like playoff run. So I don't know. I really want Flacco to get his, I really want him to get his flowers, you know what I mean? But then you know, we got Lamar Jackson, and I'm sorry, but he's already a Hall of Famer. I'm just saying.
Having watched Lamar Jackson in college and now having to watch Lamar Jackson in the pros,
Oh, that's right. Louisville. Holy shit. Yeah.
yeah,
That's amazing.
I'm a Kentucky fan, so I hated playing Lamar Jackson in the Governor's Cup games. And
Yeah.
now I get to hate watch the Bengals play him every year,
Oh.
twice a season,
And
not
that
counting
one play that he,
potential playoffs, right?
there's the one play against the Bengals that will forever be a highlight reel is when he just takes off from the pocket, runs, does a spinaroonie, and then he just like runs to the end zone. Oh, I hate the Bengals. Screw you, Ron. But yeah,
Yeah,
no, we. Sorry, go ahead.
it was a lot to a lot to live through in college when he was in college, and it was even worse in the pros because he's somehow even better than he was when he was like 20 and aggressively athletic.
You know what's wild? It's how much he's progressed as a passer because he was a runner. Like he always had like good passing ability, but he was so inaccurate. But now to see that he has like top stats as a passer, I just look at him and I'm like, holy crap, like how did this happen? Because sometimes he won't even run when he should. And I'm sitting there like, run, Lamar, and he won't do it. But I'm proud of that kid, man. Like they wanted him to be a wide receiver out of college. It was bullshit. He's
Which is
shutting
insane
everybody up.
because if you ever watched him play in quarterback in college, after his first few games at U of L, he stopped being run first. The thing that let him down was U of L had was set up for him to run,
Yeah.
and he always wanted to throw.
Yeah.
They would make him run when he always wanted to be a throw first quarterback. So I was not surprised at his ability to like read the field and pick up progressions. And I was not super surprised by his accuracy because it's like, oh, if you let him stand in the pocket, you don't make him bootleg out every play. He can
Yeah.
actually, hit a quarter
Oh,
30
he.
yards down the field.
Yeah, I'm still so impressed by him, and I mean, we could talk about this forever, but we got to wrap this up. So we should finish on something Christmas. I'm trying to think of a Christmassy question. I wanted to ask one earlier because you said you do get snow, right? Do you have a
Yes.
favorite memory of something snow related in Louisville, or do you not get that much? Or has there been a time you've gotten an insane amount and you've been like, what the hell is going on?
In the early 90s, we got 2 feet of snow. Yeah. We got so much snow that the snow plows that the city owns were stuck and they could not plow their way out of their own parking lots. They had to hand shovel tracks just to get them unburied because they were buried in snowdrifts. So they had
Wow.
to shovel them out of the snowdrifts. They could actually go out and plow. And it was so bad that UPS, which Louisville is the worldwide headquarters for UPS, said, "We will give you money to buy more snow removal equipment. This will never happen again. Or we're going to move our headquarters somewhere warm and we will just take over some airport in Florida and that will be where we live." And the city was like, "We understand. We will buy plows. We will salt. We will get this taken care of." And we've never gotten that much snow again, but the times we've gotten lots of snow, the city's been pretty much on top of it. So,
Did you take advantage of it,
because
or did you just chill in your house the whole time?
I went out and I built an igloo in the front yard. I built a snowman. I was out in it every day because it didn't go away for like 2 weeks. So
Yeah.
even after school was back on, I was still like playing in the snow-filled yard. It
So
was awesome.
you've been inside an igloo, like you made one. Was it a decent one?
It was very good. Like
Were you surprised when you
the
get in it how warm you actually get quickly?
yeah, that was the weirdest thing. I was like, number one, I was surprised that it didn't just collapse on me. But number two, I was pleased at how warm it was inside because like I got in and I was like, I could take my gloves off. I could take my coat. I could
Yeah.
unzip my coat and let the steam out because I'd worked up a good sweat building the thing.
No, for sure. It's so funny that the Americans think that all we do is live in igloos, but if you guys felt one of the summers we get here, man, it's pretty bad sometimes. The humidity is terrible.
See, that's the thing about Kentucky. We also have terrible humidity.
Yeah.
So in our summers, like in August, we will have, 2 or 3 weeks where it doesn't get below 80 degrees at night, and we'll have 80% humidity. It'll be
Well,
like swamp outside.
yeah, disgusting. I cannot live like that, man. Like in the summers here, like obviously you can get into the air conditioning, but Jesus Christ, like I can't do humidity. Like dry heat fine, but humidity, man, I just go outside and like you just immediately start to like sweat. And it's just like a constant, it's just I can't I'm just so happy the cooler weather's here, man. But
Yeah,
anyway,
100%.
I'm happy you came on and like we basically barely talked about Christmas. I feel like we talked about a lot of shit, but this is what I like to do. I like to just sit here and kind of like bounce off each other here. But I really appreciate you coming on and taking the time. I said I was only going to keep you about 40 minutes, and I guess we've been going for about 1 hour and 20. So I really appreciate you sticking around. I really appreciate you coming on, man. I really do.
Oh, no problem. I had a great time, and just a little, long running discussion that goes everywhere is a lot of fun to me. So I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Same. We should add some beers doing it, but we'd have to do that on a weekend probably. But yeah. Well, take this time to promote what you do. Tell us what you do. Tell us your podcast, man. Plug it and do what you got to do. All my I think I average about 60 listeners a month. So really, really make it count, man.
100%. You can find me at I do the Filmstrip podcast with my friend Jay and our friends Lindsay and Ryan. Ryan's a new addition to the show, so that'll be fun. It's Filmstrip Pod on all the social media, Filmstrip Podcast in your podcatcher of choice. We've got 435-ish episodes, so there's a lot of stuff out there. Runs the gamut of pretty much any kind of genre of movie you would want to talk about. We've talked about from horror movies to Christmas movies to comedies, dramas, documentaries. With a show that's got 400 episodes plus, we've obviously hit something that you would find interesting. So definitely check that out. And Hopefully soon I will have some writing to plug, but I have to actually get a computer that works before I can jump back on that. So, boof to that. But I have 15 years of writing. You can find it at denofgeek.com. Just look for my name in the author section, and you will have a smorgasbord of Wonderland or something.
Hell of a plug. I think I did a little research on your podcast today. I think AI said it's been around for like 13 years. Is that true?
Yeah, it's been around, barring some hiatuses and stuff, for like I think 15 years actually.
Okay,
So
it might have said that. I could just be misremembering, but then that's a hell of accomplishment because I've kind of been around what, almost 6 years, and this is my third podcast, but this is the one I'm sticking with because I always wanted this name to be the first name that I use, but I was like, oh, nobody's gonna know what it is because it doesn't say Christmas in it. But so yeah, I'm three podcasts in, and you've stuck with the same one for 15 years. So if
well,
anything, you are
to be
consistent.
fair, the show had already been around for a while before I jumped onto it, but
Oh,
I
really?
have been on the show for like 10 years or something at this point. So,
Well, that's obviously still a hell of an accomplishment. And again, I really appreciate you coming on today, man. All I'm going to say is I think I'm going to have two episodes this month. The next episode, I'm going to have my buddy Dylan back on because we haven't touched base in a long time, and he's been basically begging me to come on. So, check out this episode, obviously, you have, and the next episode will be with Dylan. And then December, I have a few treats in store. Not going to give it away, but yeah, we'll see you on the next one, guys. And thanks again, Ron.
thank you.